from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Some news on Memphis. I suppose it's news in some ways. Did they pick up additional votes? Did they move up a spot? I can't exactly remember.
Oh, I mean, the Memphis released a statement on it about moving up in the latest coaches poll. They received 43 votes to move up to essentially what would be 28th today.
Okay.
Climbed 6 spots from number 34 in that preseason coaches poll. Again, to number 28. These are not real spots,
right?
But we are counting them as such to sort of measure ourselves. Point was, you were already, if I'm not mistaken, in the coaches poll, you are already the highest rated group of 5, which you continue to be. Boise State received 22 votes. It's in the AP poll where I want to tell you it. You were in the others receiving votes, but the other teams, Boise State, I want to say Liberty too, was rated ahead of you. I'd be more interested to see what that AP poll says. But the coaches poll, stick with what it had. Mm-hmm. You're moving up some spots, yes, but you're still a highest rated group of 5 team. Key, and I would think more telling to me, is the fact that Memphis moved up also 11 spots over the SP Plus rankings, which are a measure of your efficiency. And there they are ranked the highest rated group of 5 at 32. Offense stayed top 10-ish, went from 9 to 10, but that defense jumped up from what was 102 this preseason to 85. And so you jumped up 11 spots there. That represents a pretty big jump.
Yeah.
Up into that the top 30.
So 28 coaches poll, 32 SP Plus.
Yeah, which was a big jump at the SP Plus. So you went up 11 spots. I think you were 43 last week.
And then 30th at AP.
You got that?
Yeah.
Well, what about Group of 5? Who's higher than you in AP? They keep Boise State ahead of you?
Yes.
See, that's the issue.
20 votes.
You should be the highest rated Group of 5.
20 votes ahead of Memphis right now.
Yeah.
For some reason, Clemson is still ranked, but they're 25th, barely hanging on. Florida State
out with 0-2.
Is indeed out, got no votes, obviously. So they're out. And did Florida State, it was weird, there was no
poll in between because they were the only game.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That was kind of weird because they were still 10th, even though you knew they were not actually. Do you think they would have still been ranked?
Possibly.
Like 24th or something?
Yeah, holding on.
But now, obviously, they are not. So, yeah, Memphis getting 27 votes. Boise State getting 47. Boston College about to be ranked 27. 27 in the AP, so they're very close.
Bro, that Castellanos is a hell of a player.
Quarterback?
Yes.
Or BC?
They look legit.
They do. They do.
Was it Ward? Is that the back? They had pieces.
I had to say I was extremely impressed with Bill O'Brien. I don't know what I expected, but I think you quickly are reminded, like, hey, he sucked in the NFL and was a disaster in the NFL, but he was damn good in college.
Yep. Was he with staff with Alabama, right?
He was at Alabama. Saban? He was at Penn State.
Analyst. I mean, he's good.
And he was good. And, that's what launched him into NFL.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you see it all the time, right? These coaches that do well in the college ranks go to the NFL, it doesn't work out quite as well. Matt Rhule was kind of like that, right?
Yep.
He was at Penn State for a couple of years. He was with the Patriots for a long time. And then he gets the job with the Texans, and he's there for a while. I mean, he was there from 14 to 20, but, it ultimately did not end well He was pretty mediocre at the end of the day at the NFL level with, you know, even with Deshaun Watson. And he goes back to the college ranks, and he's taken over a program in Boston College that, I mean, I can't remember the last time they were good. Was it Flutie? I mean, Matt Ryan, maybe?
In a while.
I mean, when's the last time they even ranked? I mean, because they're knocking on the door. So, yeah, man. I mean, it's I think that was another take for me. And then as somebody that had the second half under, the class that he showed, the sheer class that he showed by kneeling inside the five at the two-minute warning, I mean, that's you just have to respect that.
So half,
I would send my kids to play for Bill O'Brien.
I bet.
What honor and valor he has.
They have been 7-6 last year, but before that they were 3-9, 6-6, 6-5, very mediocre. Yeah, I mean, there's not much there. Back to 2007, they were 11-3 under Jagosinski.
I think that was Matt Ryan. I think that would have been the Matt Ryan year.
That's Matt Ryan right there.
That's my guess. Doesn't that sound right, Jason?
Yep.
Maybe that's a little later, but it feels like it's kind of on the cusp there. Yeah, he was 7th in Heisman in 07. So that was the Matt Ryan year.
Tom Coughlin in 93 got him to a 9-3 season. So they've had
a
couple.
Was that Flutie? Would that have been Flutie 93?
That's after Flutie. Flutie's okay. Probably 70s damn near.
Oh, is he? Okay.
He's got to be way back there.
All right. I
would think.
That was before my time. He was 85.
Okay.
Was when he got drafted. So, yeah, definitely was before. Well, I wonder who it was in 93. Maybe it was just the greatness of Tom Coughlin. But Boston College took it to him, and that's going to be the charge for Memphis in 2 weeks. So, well, you know how you beat him. Pretty simple. You know what you have to do. You have to be able to run the ball. And
Memphis can win this game, though, don't you all think?
Well, see, this is what I hate.
You don't like me saying that?
Well, it's not just you. It's everybody now. It's everybody.
I really want them to win the game, and I think they can beat them.
This has turned into a situation for Memphis that is just downright disastrous because people see what has happened to Florida State with two straight unranked opponents, including one at home, and they now extrapolate and use transitive property and say, well, if Boston College does it, why can't Memphis be expected to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of reasons. I mean, first of all, Boston College was a 16.5, 17-point underdog. You won't be nearly that big an underdog, but you still will be an underdog. You will still be a touchdown-plus underdog to Florida State. Make no mistake about it. And it can those happen all the time, you know, but it would still be an upset. But now, Jason, you sort of get this. You know, Gabe tweeted it. This was supposed to be a free shot.
Yeah.
A free swing at Florida State. But it is now not that. It is not a free swing at Florida State because now if you lose, you are Florida State, this downtrodden, beaten down program. You're their first win.
This sucks for Memphis. There's no doubt about it. You wanted them actually to win these games before you so that it was not even close. A setup for you.
Like, a perfect scenario, they win both. They stay ranked.
Right.
But you know that they're probably not the team that they were projected to be. You go in, you get in there,
and you get close.
But now you have an ultimate desperation, winless team that's already out of top 25. They're going to be hearing about it for 2 weeks. I just think it's very, very difficult in terms of the spot for Memphis. It turned out to be worst-case scenario.
Yeah. It's unfortunate what's happened, and doubly so because it's Mike Norvell, who we like around here. And especially pretty tragic considering the way that last season ended where, you know, no matter how you felt about it, it was tough. You need to watch whether you felt like they deserved to be in the college football playoff or not. It was tough to watch that happen to a Mike Norvell team that went undefeated through the season. And so, you know, to come back this way, you figure, hey, I just need to pick the quarterback and to see it happen, and now not even ranked, forget top 10, you hate to see it happen. But then, yes, to then take the personal out of it, Mike Norvell, and just what it could have done for Memphis, it's completely changed it. Where now, I would think there are going to be some people on that committee, the College Football Playoff Committee, that think, looking at numbers, analytics, SP Plus numbers, that you should win that game now. Based on the fact that teams below you, Georgia Tech, your offense is ranked higher than Georgia Tech's. And you're going to look at that number and say that Memphis should go down there and win. And that's unfortunate because, like you said, I still think, I mean, even SP Plus has still got an 0-2 team, still two Florida State team, still two spots ahead of you in ranking. And realizing that's it's a different level of athlete. So it sucks for a number of reasons. You win this game, you're not going to get nearly the credit for it that you hoped you would. You lose it, everybody's going to say, oh, man, you lost to a bad Florida State team that, frankly, and this is the part they're going to say, that you should have beaten.
Yep.
Even though the numbers were say you shouldn't have, or the Vegas is going to say you shouldn't. On your eyeballs tell you that Memphis Memphis should win that game. And it's going to be unfortunate if you come out of that one, Mike having had time to regroup, put together a game plan. If you get bashed in it, it's really not going to help you, especially as you're standing right now, at least according to the coaches' poll, of your best group of five team. Boise State didn't look great defensively over the weekend, but the key was they won, right? You start putting on losses, mm-hmm. even if it's this Florida State team, Power Four. This ain't a good Florida State team.
Right.
It's just going to start falling by the wayside here in terms of what folks think of that best group of five team. In the end, we're probably going to discuss Florida State too much. What Memphis needs to do is handle its business in every other game. Because that's what's expected of you this year.
Yeah.
That's what should be expected of a team that's not 32 at SP Plus. You need to win every other game.
Yes.
Frankly, other than UTSA, and we'll see, but there's a good chance you're going to be favored in all of them. Handle that business, and who cares what Florida State is, handle that part of the business, and then compare that to what the other group of five teams have. Because there's a good chance Boise State ain't going to be sitting there, with one loss. They may have more. There's a good chance of all that. So I would just say, take care of your business. Don't worry so much about what Florida State is. Win all the rest of them.
Yes. Now, in terms of the weekend, in terms of the AAC, I will tell you, stock up, stock down. South Florida, scary. I mean, that's going to be a tough game to win, bro.
I know.
I mean, we thought that coming in, and it's confirmed, right? It's confirmed. North Texas, what they put on
That kid got a player of the week offensively, I believe, at their quarterback, their new
I think they put up like 50 on South Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Hold on. 52 they put on South Alabama. Charlotte, joke. I was not impressed with UTSA. UTSA, we might have to downgrade them a little bit. They got a big one this weekend against Texas State, but they were letting Kennesaw State, which is it's their first year in FBS from FCS, they were letting them hang around. I mean, it ended up being like 28-16. So, and it was actually 21-16 at one point. So I think you have to say they're probably a little bit of a downgrade. You might actually end up being a bit bigger favorite in San Antonio, and we're upgrading maybe North Texas, for example. Rice got absolutely their D's kicked in by Sam Houston State.
Wild.
At home. So we're downgrading them. UAB is an interesting one. They added five Power Five transfers. I believe it's here, though, so it's still you're supposed to win that game. And then Tulane has Kansas State this weekend in New Orleans. They're starting a redshirt freshman at quarterback, Darian Mensa. They like him. They had the deepest or one of the deepest average depth of target in the country this year or this week, so maybe that's going to be their game. Maybe they're kind of going to pick up where they left off. But against Southeast Louisiana, it's hard to know exactly what that means. So I would say for the most part, the conference is what we thought it was, Jason. I wouldn't say I was overly impressed with anybody this weekend other than maybe North Texas and South Florida. And the rest I was maybe, the Charlotte coach. This is what the Charlotte coach is doing, bro. Biff Podgy.
That's Pogge, him.
Whatever, yeah, however you say his name. He brought in Steve Wilks. You remember Steve Wilks?
Mm-hmm.
He was like the 49ers defensive coordinator last year.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's what he's been his whole career, as a defensive coordinator, right? He brought in Steve Wilks to help with the offense.
Oh,
I kid you not. He said, Steve is here to help with our offensive coordinator, despite the fact that Steve Wilks has never coached offense in his life.
What the hell is Biff Pogge doing?
He's a billionaire, so he doesn't care. He's like a fantasy man. He's just running his little stupid program. So they're a joke. I'd say the 11th and the 19th back-to-back weeks, that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. But are both of them, one of them's here, right? The 19th's here.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Bertha.
I'm kind of.
The blue is home. There you go.
The blue logos?
You can see it from there.
Yeah, okay.
On the pouncer thing?
Yeah. I would kind of chalk up the 11th as a loss in a way. Just expect the loss, hope for a win, just because you're going to be there. And there, dude, that quarterback ain't no joke, man. I mean, are they really going to be able to limit him this year? It's kind of the same as we had 2 weeks ago. But, I mean, if you can find a way to win that one, I think you're beating UTSA. How about that? You beat South Florida, you're beating UTSA. That's how I feel, for sure. Because I think they provide the stiffer challenge, honestly. I don't know what the Sagarin ratings are, but, and I think USF has Alabama this weekend, so they'll probably get squashed. But that quarterback is something serious. And when you got that in this league, you got a chance. You're very live. So.
Memphis got after this QB, that said, it's FCS. You want to see it at a little bit higher level, but I thought their defense got after. I think it's going to be what you need it to be.
Right.
Yeah. More concerned now about the, you know, the run game. I won't say more concerned about the run game. Again, you jumped up a few 15 spots defensively. Let's continue to see more. But those linebackers are fast, man. Herring and Chandler Martin are fast. That middle line of defense is good, and they were getting after the quarterback. Hopefully we'll see more of it against Troy.
Yeah, Silverfield was talking yesterday basically about, like, you know, I don't mind our defense being what carries us this year. I don't want to necessarily just be this, oh, we're an offensive team. He was kind of fighting back against that narrative in a way. Yeah, you know, again, I don't know exactly. You know, it's hard to take any, it's hard to, like, inject too much opinion.
It's tough for him because, again, you had a top 10 offense last year and you're returning most of the pieces, so much so that most got you 9, 10 around that. So it's hard to say, yeah, we'd be fine with just, you know, slowing it down a little bit and letting our defense take over. Folks are going to expect a top 10 offense from you again because it's still Seth Hennigan, period. I mean, you went and got a running back from South Carolina. We know that Sutton Smith's down, but they're going to expect an explosive offense. You can't go back to non-explosive. You can't do that. Yes, the defense can step up. This defense will not be the face of this team coming off of a shutout of an FCS team. Let's stop there.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
We need to stop. Let's see it up against a higher level of team.
No doubt.
This week, Troy, and then obviously with a Florida State team that's down, but it'll have good athletes. You do it there.
Yep.
We can start talking about being a face. This is a top 10 offensive team. No. Don't start talking about coming back to the pack.
Yeah.
Now you're going to still expect that thing to be explosive. You need it to be.
Exactly right.
Especially against South Florida.
The other team that I was impressed with that you don't play, which is good news. You don't play them. FAU. Do they look immensely improved in year two under Herman? Like, they almost beat Michigan State with their quarterback
at the end of that game.
As one of the worst in the country, I got to believe. That front seven is legit. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that Memphis does not, like, for example, play them there, because that would be that could be a tough one there, you know, for a team like Memphis, because their front seven got after it, bro. Against, you know, this Aiden Childs, all this hype that he was getting coming in.
Well, surely Tulane's playing them since they don't play. They don't play UTSA. Maybe they can go help you against the UTSAs and the Tulanes knock them down a bit.
I mean, Tulane got to play somebody,
because we had talked about Memphis not having any breaks, having to play all three of those teams on the road.
Right.
Surely, since you like sit that FAU team, you feel like there's something there. Surely one of them can catch that.
Dude, they don't even play FAU.
Gee, many Christmas.
They play South Florida at home. They go at North Texas. That's going to be a tough one.
That quarterback looks good. He got played the week.
They go at North Texas and at UAB, and that's the gist of it. I mean, and then the U, obviously, on the 28th. So, but they do play Kansas State and Oklahoma back-to-back weeks.
Yep.
You know, that's a tough one. I mean, you know, that's unfortunate for Tulane, because they're going to wind up having two L's before they get to conference play.
And FAU has to play UTSA and South Florida back-to-back weeks.
Tough.
They get a bye week, but they go – those are the back-to-backs.
UTSA
the 19th
does.
And the 1st of November. Yeah,
that's Tulane. The team that's second.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, so anyway, I mean, it's some of these teams play FCS, right? Tulane played Southeastern Louisiana, you know, in a friggin' rain game. And, you know, but FAU went to Michigan State. They went to East Lansing.
Yep.
And they competed their ass off as 13-point dogs. I mean, it was very impressive. You know, Tom Herman's got a good defense on his hands. They got Army this week, I think.
Yep.
And we'll see, you know, kind of what you're made of there.
Right.
Tom Herman had his undefeated season in 2016 at Houston, 6th in the country. That came to an end at the hands of Navy as a 17-point favorite in 2016. So the option has dashed some dreams before. Mm-hmm. I mean that's what the Service Academy does. We're thankful that they protect and serve, but they have spoiled some seasons, man. Our season in 2015?
Yeah.
And then 2016, they did it to Tom Herman. Oh, Hermie.
It's tough to scheme up some years.
I mean, it's very hard.
And thoughts on Vanderbilt beating Virginia Tech?
Dude, Vandy.
Congrats to
Vandy is a Service Academy now.
That's how they run their
offense. If you look at their pace,
you watch what they do.
Dude, it's
they blew a lead in that game.
They did. They did.
Well, I'm happy for them.
They got it done.
The slowest pace in America, Army, Vandy, Air Force.
VTech would love Justin Fuente back, probably.
Yeah. I mean, I have him this week against the spread against Marshall, so I need him to hold off a week. But Yeah, that was it. I'm thinking more impressive than bad, maybe, for Virginia Tech.
So.
I would say impressive for Vandy than bad for Virginia Tech. Like, maybe, you know, Clark Lee is finally calling the defense. Not that that was a defensive game at all, but they got that quarterback in from wherever, New Mexico State.
Yep.
And he's a gamer. He's a gamer. And, you know, maybe that's the turnaround that Vandy needed to justify their place in the SEC. I have no idea. But it was a it was an eventful weekend in college football. And, of course, that that includes a game in Memphis, which we'll talk to Jeff Calkins about, and the entire experience at Simmons Bank when we get back. Jason and John, IDTurn FM, ESPN. Jeff Calkins is the host of the Jeff Calkins Show. Comments of the Daily Memphian. And he was there in the building on Saturday at the Tigers opener against South Alabama and joins us now. All right, so you got an exclusive with the hole. How'd it go?
I didn't see you there, John. I was there. You were there.
Yeah, you didn't see me.
We missed each other.
You
we
didn't
missed
see
each other.
Well,
somehow.
No, because you were with the, and I mean this lovingly, you were with the sort of hoi polloi. You know, you were with.
I was absolutely not with the hoi polloi.
Well, what do you have against the hoi polloi? I mean, that's on.
I was wandering around talking to everybody as they came into the stadium and got their first reaction. I wanted to see people as they saw the hole for the first time. And I actually thought, honestly, I don't know what your experience was. I thought it was a really nice night. You know, I and it was a reminder that, let's be honest, Memphis football, you know, they're never going to beat Georgia, right? Like, it's, you know, they're never going. The different Memphis basketball can dream of a national title. It may seem like a distant dream, but they can dream of that. Memphis football, the ceiling's just different, you know. It just is. We can hope that it'll be higher than it has been or whatever else, but it doesn't mean that it can't be a really fun, you know, civic gathering. And to me, like, from the moment I got there, and I got there pretty early, I got there to see the Tiger walk and all of that stuff, it was just a really happy scene. I just thought people were thrilled to be back. And then you walk in and you have the curiosity of the stadium. And the truth of the matter is, it looked good. It is sort of hilarious that the Mid-South Coliseum is featured so prominently now. Like, it's beautifully framed. It's like they punched out a big window so that you get a better view of the Coliseum standing there. The Coliseum, which someone wanted to knock down for decades, it's more prominent than ever now. But I thought they did a really good job of, you know, it didn't feel like you were in some, you know, there wasn't rubble everywhere. You know, I thought it was well done. There were some complaints about how long people had to wait in line, and I saw Ed Scott tweeted about that. But the truth of the matter is, 45 minutes before the game started, I watched, and people were basically just getting right in. So I suppose if you waited till 20 minutes before, maybe you had to wait in line. Well, that's your own fault. I just thought it was a nice event. Now, I didn't think the Tigers looked, who knows? I didn't think they looked killer. You know, I didn't like, there's a team that's going to go undefeated, right? I mean, but that's one game, and who knows? So I thought it was a good night.
I thought it looked fine. I thought it just from where I was sitting, and I said, you know, before my friends at Tag invited me to their end zone tent, it feels big time now that you have those. Now, you know, again, you have to know, it's sort of like barbecue fest. You kind of have to know somebody, but I think that's a staple you're going to see at big time SEC schools. It's just these adornments on, you know, in the end zone where you can sit down and watch the game with a tent, and you can, you know, you have catering and drinks and everything. That was awesome. That's a new thing I've never experienced at a Memphis football game, and I think it's a welcome addition. And you had
so
them all.
You were hanging with the hoi polloi. It wasn't me. It was you were hanging with the hoi polloi.
I was hanging with the you know, the aristocrats. Is what I was doing.
Yeah, the aristocrats. You were hanging with the aristocrats.
The big wigs at Tag. They invited me.
And obviously once they build what they will ultimately build.
Exactly.
There's going to be dramatically more of that.
It doesn't look terrible. I mean, it's obviously weird. I mean, you look over there and it's just like,
it doesn't even look bad. It just looks strange. It looks sort of strange.
Because they have a nice little, you know, siding with a little corporate.
Yeah.
They sold some logos there. So, you know, it looks fine. And it was a beautiful night.
And with the hole, you got a nice breeze coming right through the side of the stadium. Like, that was nice. It was a nice little breeze.
That's right.
Food was good. I had Hawaiian ice. I had a Corky sandwich because at the end, I was walking down to the media room, And there were, you know, 18, 19-year-old guys working at the Quirky Stand. And they were like, do you want a sandwich? Do you want a sandwich? Do you want a sandwich? And I walked up, and the guy tried to hand me 6 Quirky sandwiches. Now, I only took 2, which I ate one that night and then one for breakfast. But there's good food there, too. Coletta's, Uncle Lou's, Quirky's. Like, it's a nice scene. I think Memphis football, I thought it was great. Now, the injury with Sutton Smith isn't great. Like, that's not great. Particularly, like, the offense was perfectly good. It didn't look, again, 1 week, who the hell knows? It didn't look explosive, you know, and they couldn't run the ball. That was a little, slightly, if you're just, you're trying to figure out what you're, you know, can take from one game. You know, the offensive line has been the biggest question of the offseason because they have, you know, holes to fill there. And so they didn't open, you know, that was a little bit of an issue. And now Sutton Smith appears is probably gone for the year. I don't know if we've gotten an update formally on that yet.
Yeah.
So I thought it was fine. The football was perfectly fine, solid, whatever. And I thought the scene was great.
Yeah, it was great.
What did you think about Seth? I thought he looked sharp.
I thought he looked good. 300 yards, 2 touchdowns. And they weren't going deep a lot, right? They weren't going deep a lot. I mean, it is just sort of funny. This is how spoiled we get. Like, because they've scored more than 20 points now, the longest streak in the country, right? And so I'm still used to a team that used to put up 50. You know, hell, 2 years ago, they beat North Alabama 59-0, and then they lost the next week to SMU. So this week it was 40-0. So how do you possibly know? I mean, Seth gave himself a 7.5 out of 10, and that's fine. I think that's about right. He was good. And he took care of the ball, and they obviously forced 3 turnovers, so that was good too. The kicking game was not good, so you know, we'll see. Now it'll be interesting because the next game is at 11 a.m. Now they drew 25,000 for this one, and the crowd felt fine. It didn't feel like this is the most anticipated season in history. We're going to pack the stadium. It wasn't bad. But it was fine. I thought it was fine, perfectly fine. Now it's going to be an 11 o'clock game for the next one. You know, what's that going to be like? Hopefully bet momentum will build. Obviously, they're getting more votes in the top 25. That came out all earlier. So, and you build towards what was once anticipated to be a titanic struggle against Mike Norvell and Florida State.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, I know we do have the Troy game. I don't think you want to break down Gerard Parker's offense, right? I mean, I know that it's one game at a time, but that Florida State game, it's hard not to think about just how disastrously that's turned out.
Yeah, let's be honest. It's more disastrous for Florida State than for Memphis, right? Like, if you're Florida State, it's a freaking disaster. And it's not great for Memphis either, pretty clearly. I'll say this, though. I don't think the result of that Florida State game, I don't think Florida State being bad is going to keep Memphis out of the playoffs. In other words, if Memphis wins every game except that Florida State game, I still think they can get into the playoff. And now maybe they can win the Florida State game. But I don't think, well, remains to be seen. We'll see what Boise does. We'll see what the other schools do. But if you can literally run the table and then all you do is you lose by 10 points to a mediocre or sub-mediocre Florida State team, I still think you'll probably be the best group of 5 team out there. Don't you? Don't you think it's likely? My actually bigger question is did that look like, again, from, we don't know, did that look like a Memphis team that's going to run the table? I think it's more likely that Memphis will keep itself out of the playoff than that whatever Florida State has done will keep Memphis out of the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, my issue really is, in terms of Memphis, is like, were you really like holding back? Like, were you just like not calling, your offense? Or is that how you're going to call your offense? Because I was not really, either decision I don't love. You know what I mean? Like, either whatever the truth is, I don't love it. Like, if you're not call, why are you not dialing it up against a crappy team and letting your offense, you know, let it rip? Okay, so if that's the decision, why would you make that decision? And then secondly, if that is your offense that you're actually going to call, I'm just thoroughly unimpressed. Like, I just, you know, I mean, I just was not.
I mean, it was fine. I'm not ripping them for it. It was not, but it was not a.
I mean, it's an FCS team. You're supposed to win by 100 points.
You know? Well, that's the thing. You look at what Tennessee did. You look at what Ole Miss did. Right. You look at what Arkansas did. You look at what Mississippi State did. Like, all four of those were more one-sided than what Memphis did, right? And that's what you're supposed to do.
Yep.
Again, this is all...
It's picking nits. But guess what?
That's all we have to go on.
But guess what?
Now.
Yeah, I mean, this is the season that you're in. I mean, this is the most anticipated season in Memphis football history where we are talking about not winning eight games, all right? We're talking about Memphis football going to the playoff.
Right.
And if for that as a first effort, I would say it was thoroughly, you know, unimpressive, you know, for what this season is supposed to be. It was mediocre. It was mediocre.
If you're looking at it through the prism of, which is a crazy high standard, but if you're looking at it as... And saying, okay, does this team look like a team that can go undefeated, you know, and run through the conference and whatever?
Right.
You wouldn't have walked out of that first game saying that about this team.
I mean,
you know,
USF.
Doesn't mean they can't, but that's not the impression that they left, that this is the most a death star of a Memphis team that's going to run through the conference.
I mean, USF beat Bethune-Cookman 48-3, right? I mean, we're not talking about USF going to the playoff. Nobody's talking about them, you know. And so I'm just all I'm saying, you know, UAB beat Alcorn State 41-3 or whatever it was, you know. So it's just like, you know, you're the class of the league. I expected this to be, you know, I wanted blood in the streets, and I kind of got we just had to do what we had to do and move on. They covered the number, which is great for those people, but I don't know. I just did not come away thinking like, oh my God, this really could be it. I mean, there's still a lot more, I think, homework that has to be done.
I agree with that fundamental assessment, yes.
So,
in terms of who impressed you the most this weekend from college football, and we had mentioned the Notre Dame win at Texas A&M and how big that is for them. Obviously, Georgia in that second half just absolutely rolls and probably justifies its number one ranking with what it did to Clemson. What about for you, whether it was individual performance or team performance, thing that impressed you most from the college football weekend?
I think there's a couple categories. Obviously, the team that quote-unquote impressed you most is Georgia. Like, I mean, they took apart Clemson, right? And everyone's focused on Clemson and their shortcomings and their head coach's shortcomings and all of that. But the most impressive team over the weekend was Georgia, right? Like, that was like a reminder. Then the separate category is teams that you might have had questions about given their, you know, up and down over the last few years who came through and proved something. And that is USC, that is Notre Dame, that is Miami, right? Penn State, honestly.
Like
Penn State, same
Penn
thing. State. They're all sort of, they are supposed to be elite programs, but in past years, they really haven't been for one reason or another, right? USC with their horrific defense last year, like they seem soft, right? And the line play, everything else. Notre Dame figuring out a way to lose close games last year and in previous years. Miami, you know, you'd always be wondering whatever happened to the U. Diaz can recruit, but can he actually, you know, can he coach? Penn State, you know, can't their quarterback, all the tools in the world, but they can't throw the ball last year. They couldn't. And all of those teams in different ways, they didn't impress me as much as Georgia, but you came away from all of those games, watching all of those teams thinking, you know what? They could be playoff teams. I'm kind of impressed for various reasons. For Notre Dame was figuring out a way to win. For USC, that's the quarterback and the toughness that they had, you know, against a, you know, a really good opponent. Defense dramatically better.
Yep.
Penn State threw the ball around. And then Miami, just not only did they obviously Cam Ward is the biggest story, but just athletically they looked great. Same thing with Notre Dame. Athletically, that defensive backfield is just crazy good. So all those teams, there's a lot of focus on the flip side. The catastrophe that is Clemson, the catastrophe that is Florida,
the continuing disappointment that is LSU and openers. But honestly, I think the flip side is that there's a bunch of teams that looked really good this weekend and looked like, you know what, I could see, and in a playoff universe, they're kind of intriguing to think of any of those teams as possible playoff teams, an expanded playoff universe.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. Jeff, man, appreciate the time as always.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks.
See ya.
Yep, he is Jeff Calkins. Joins us usually on, well, I don't even know when he joins us now. It's just kind of Tuesday. We've kind of just made that a, you know, I don't want to like belabor it, right? Like I'm sitting here complaining about a 40-0 loss, or win, I should say, loss. I don't want to belabor it, right? It feels a little performative. But, you know, it's just like, you know, there's certain impressions. You know, you make an impression. Now, first impressions are not the last impression. The only thing that matters is where Memphis is on, you know, December the 6th, not August 31st. But there, I mean, even last year, the year before that, you know, the openers were a bit more impressive. I mean, that kind of felt more like not quite as bad as Seth's freshman year when it was 42-17 to Nichols, but it was kind of in that range, like where it could have been more, probably should have been more. And we also haven't mentioned it. Memphis's kicking game is probably going to be a problem.
Yeah, Jeff did.
Yeah,
there, and we didn't highlight it earlier, but you're right. I mean, it doesn't look like a strength right now.
Yeah,
that's for certain.
So I mean, again, we're talking about these close games, you know. And I don't know. Would you say it's been like that reliable over the last, you know, year or two? Like it's kind of been a revolving door. It really hasn't under Silverfield. It hasn't been that reliable altogether anyway. But
special teams, you're saying?
Yeah, the field goal unit
been a little up and down.
Yeah. So
from where we had been, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You have that. You have this great run. You have Riley Patterson. You have, you know, Jake Elliott, and then you know you've been really struggling to find one after that. And it is probably going to rear its head, you know, at some point because these are going to be very tight numbers, very tight games, and you're going to need some kicking to come through for you. And can you count on it?
Right.
And the answer to that is probably not. You know,
TBD.
I mean. Well, they missed a PAT,
yeah,
and a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right.
Same kicker, I think it is Costa. So I mean, I think the field goal try, in fairness, was long. I think it was a long one. But you know, again, you're like, okay, we're in week zero of this thing, week one of this thing. He's already missed two kicks. That's not ideal. That's not a good place to be for that kicker's headspace and that confidence. So you're going to need him, man. You're going to need him soon too. On the road to Tallahassee, what if it's like a year down two? You're down two, you're driving, you get to the 35-yard line, you need a big kick, can you get it? Is he going to come through for you? That's the question, you know? Yeah. So we'll find out, you know, in the weeks to come. But again, that's the kind of season that we're dealing with. This is not the season where it's like, oh, man, what are you talking about? They're going to be just fine. Just fine is not the bar this year, to be clear. Just fine is the bar in, like, 2015. This is a team that is the second favorite to go to the playoff out of the group of five, you know? And so the standard is going to be high. We are going to pick nits. We are going to, you know, focus on the little things that it could have been, you know, 52-0 or whatever the case may be. They could have thrown downfield a little bit more. They could have let the offense a little more loose. They could have done better in the run game. Defensively, hard to take too much issue. I mean, they weren't really tested. So we'll see this week. I think this will be the much better test. Absolutely. Against an FBS team. But in terms of the offense, yeah, I think you would say there was a lot to be desired. I think Silverfield said that to his credit. I think he definitely said that. He knows they left some money on the table. So we'll see. We'll see this weekend on Saturday, you know, how cleaned up it looks and how much better it looks. You'd love to see that number get covered again, right? You win by 20 against Troy? All right. Now we're kind of cooking, right, against an FBS team. Green Bay and Philly are playing a game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Game in Brazil on Friday in Sao Paulo. Did you know that neither team will be allowed to wear green?
Mm-mm.
The color green is banned in this particular stadium because of a rivalry that the team that plays in it has with a team that wears green. So no team that is allowed to wear green that plays in this building. So I saw the first look at the Eagles uniforms. It's black. They're wearing black instead of green. I don't know what the Packers are doing, but you'll notice that. You'll see like, damn, these are not their usual uniform.
If they're going to go black, then I'm assuming the Packers are going to go all white and just get the green out of it, the green edge and trim. You're going to go all white because you can't do two black jerseys.
Well, so, yeah, they're wearing the Eagles are wearing white jerseys, too. They're wearing black pants, white jerseys, and black helmets. So, I guess the Packers are going to have to go black jersey, white pants.
Right.
Kind of weird. Kind of weird, man. Why would you pick two green teams to play knowing that they couldn't wear green? You know, why would you not pick, like...
I'm guessing was not aware of that initially.
Yeah, the Raiders and the Bears or something, man. You got to get the green out of there, bro. You know, you're on rival game term, dog.
Yeah, they got enough with Alton and jerseys, whatever. We'll get this one played.
Yeah, man. I mean, Grape Street. They say you cannot wear the green inside Sao Paulo Stadium. So that'll be a very interesting sight to behold.
Sure. I mean, all of them. Between the first game we get on Thursday with KC and Baltimore, should be some good ones.
Couldn't ask for better, right? You couldn't ask for a better. I mean, you have some actually hellacious games in week one because you mentioned those two off the rip. But there's some great ones this weekend. Normally, you kind of have to wait for the schedule to heat up. But you got Colts-Texans. That's going to be a hell of a game between AR and CJ Stroud. You got, let's see, you have the Raiders-Chargers, Harbaugh's first game. Titans-Bears will be fun. That's probably Cowboys-Browns somewhat interesting, right?
Absolutely.
Rams-Lions.
Two teams of playoff hopes. Browns will be the one that's got to do it.
Yeah, I'd say Rams-Lions is decently interesting. Goff versus a former team in Detroit on Sunday Night Football. And then Jets-49ers on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say you have at least, you know, 5-6 games. You know, I don't know how much you'll be watching because, you know, your fantasy team this year was a complete – it was a North Alabama, we're going to tap out in the second quarter kind of concession.
Yeah, unless one of these rookie QBs pans out, whether it's Caleb or Jaden, then you'll be.
Yeah,
I'll be in good shape.
There'll be a midseason deal to be had with Mills.
But I got a lot of running backs and stuff. We'll make some moves.
Yeah,
We'll be fine. Don't worry about us. Don't cry for us.
Yeah. So what's interesting about a couple of games, and we'll have Adam Chernoff later this week talking all things Right Angle Sports and NFL betting for Week One. People are betting the Raiders for some reason that I can't understand. That number was at 3.5. It's now at 3, unless there's maybe some Herbert concerns about his foot. I mean, I guess that makes sense. But not only are they betting the Raiders, they're betting the Titans. So two underdogs this week are being bet out, or bet in, I should say, which, you know, I don't know if either team is really worthy of a bet at this moment. With the inconsistency from the Raiders and the uncertainty with the Titans, but it's happening.
There's an absolute universe where the Bears get no pressure on Will Levis and that offense, even without DeAndre, with Calvin Ridley, Boyd from Cincinnati, with Pollard out of the backfield, that there's enough there to keep it respectable.
Yep.
Again, if the Bears aren't getting a rush, then that defense is not nearly all it's cracked up. You know, people say it's good for us, so it's a good chance they're getting no rush. And you got a ball game on your hands.
Yeah.
I could see why Tennessee fans are encouraged, or some money folks are encouraged by Tennessee.
Yep.
Bears don't have a rush.
Yes.
At least until proven otherwise.
Some money did come in on the Jets. It's been coming in for the last, you know, month or so. I think it's probably meeting some resistance now that Trent Williams and Ayuk have gotten done.
Stopped, yeah.
You know, it's at four now.
Slowed down at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, that kind of feels.
Now, their man's still holding out, though, right? Hassan Reddick, nobody talking about him.
He is there. He's still in no end in sight. No, that's one that nobody wants to talk about. That's a big one in terms of generating pressure. They need him. They need him, man, because, I mean, it's a big drop-off from him to the next guy. So, anyway, it's all starting. It gets started in 2 days, man.
Ready.
Wow. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jeff Coggins for joining us on the show. Jeffrey and Company up next will be Tim Murray today with Jeffrey.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.